Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Hey, that was quite a rant there.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Listen to replays of our shows.
Well, what was that?
And original podcasts.
Yeah, there we go.
Click on podcasts on our site at 985thesportshub.com.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A third and inch snap coming up from the 34. Brady takes it, backs up, pocket holding, moves up, fires a long ball deep down the right side for Hogan. There's a lot of contact, and he makes the catch nonetheless, falling down inside the 25.
Oh, the guts. You got to have two big ones that are sitting there that you've got to have a call like that on third and one. What cojones by Josh McDaniels, but more importantly, Brady, to go for the bomb to Chris Hogan.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Ted Johnson in for Zolak and Bertrand. Talking Patriots with you guys, 617-779-0985. And a unique situation here with Ted Johnson in studio, first time at 98.5, because we get a guy, obviously Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time. You obviously knew him when he came in as a sixth-round pick. So quickly, yeah. We'll go back in time here. When did you kind of realize this guy's a little different?
That's a good question. People ask me all the time, when did you know Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady? This is a true story. Like, the first time I like really noticed Tom Brady was I was at a party after a game, and we're all the fellas were there, and the girl I was dating at the time says something about how cute Tommy is. And Tommy, who the hell's Tommy? Tom Brady. Or a four-string quarterback? Like, I never really noticed. That was like the first time I noticed. Oh, there he is. Okay, yeah, I guess he's a good-looking guy. Okay, but the genius in Tom, you guys, it didn't, like, when I first saw him at practice, it wasn't like he had this thunderbolt of a right arm. It wasn't like he had these physical traits that were just jumped out at you. His genius is in the little things, is in the detail. Yep. It's in the operation of an offense. It's in the two-minute drill. It's making the good decisions with the ball. That's where his genius was. So to a player, that doesn't necessarily jump out at you in training camp.
Yep.
All right? So when he got in there, I'll never forget, when he got his chance, Mo Lewis, you know, the hit heard around the world. Oh, I was standing right there next to Izzo. Oh, just right up under the rib cage. Mo knocks Drew out, and then Tom comes in. This guy was like a giddy little school kid, man. I'd never seen a guy, a professional quarterback, you know, approach his job with this enthusiastic kind of childlike way. He was so excited and so much full of energy. And we at first, you kind of think it's hokey.
Yeah.
Right?
You
know, yeah. Dude, settle down.
Right.
You got a lot of season left. Then it became contagious. And then it was just kind of like, hey, let's go. All right, we can follow this kid.
Yeah.
And so the games, you know, early in his career, it wasn't like he had, like, these huge statistical games.
Right.
But he made good decisions. He didn't throw interceptions. He got us in the, you know, in the right calls. He managed the game very, very well. And then he'd make a play here and there, too, right? So enough to that's all we needed early when he kind of took over the reins. So his genius didn't jump out at you. It was something you had to see over time to really appreciate really what Tom Brady is, you know?
So be honest, when Bledsoe first goes down, are you guys thinking that's the season right there or no?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of us were really worried. I mean, I'm a Drew guy.
Yeah.
I played with Drew for 5 years. Think about how lucky I was, guys. Okay, 10 years. I had Drew Bledsoe for the first five, Tom for the second five. Like, I was very lucky, right?
You go through the coaches and the quarterbacks you had. It's pretty ridiculous.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Very lucky. Yeah. I mean, I was – you know how many guys – I mean, there's guys that play on teams that they roll out their quarterback and they go, I don't have a chance today.
But it's the best part, you had Zolak for seven.
Oh, so love you, Zo. I love you. Hey, Zo's the best. The best.
Yeah, he's a man.
Best ever. Zomania running wild. But when Drew did go down, there was this kind of like, oh, crap, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
But then just Tom's attitude, his approach to it, this kind of endearing positivity that was just pouring out of him was like, I can get down with this.
Yeah.
And I'll say this about Tom, and I love Drew. Love Drew. Tom was a worker. Tom worked his ass off. You saw it. Okay, you know what that everybody teased him about that parking spot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I wanted that damn parking spot for the linebackers too. It's a little thing, but it means a lot to the guy.
Right.
You know? And he would park that yellow Jeep Wrangler in that parking spot, and I just get a kick out of it. That's what he drove in 2001, was this yellow Jeep hardtop Wrangler.
Yeah.
It was so ugly, but he drove it with pride, and I, you know what, he was just a very easy guy to root for and to like, and you loved his work ethic, and you loved his energy that he brought to the practice field every day. And then he'd go out in the games, and he'd execute, and so guys were on board. He won us over, man. He really did.
How much did it change from, you know, 01 when he takes over, like you said, kind of a game manager and just kind of putting you in a position to win versus by the time towards your end of your career, did you kind of feel like, well, this is actually something a lot more than what I thought he was even capable of?
Oh, yeah. No, in 2004, I think, we had Corey Dillon ran for 1,600 yards.
Yep.
All right. I mean, so we had a very balanced attack. But we also knew that we had a guy that was about as cool of a customer as you could ever be around. I tell a story. When we played the Rams in 2001, Tom's second year, and we're 14-point dogs in that game.
Yeah.
And there's Tom in the locker room with a towel over his face chilling. And I'm just thinking, I can get down with this guy.
Yeah.
For that position, you need a guy that is that way. His calmness and his coolness, I swear to God, it's almost unnerving. Like, you meet the guy, you know, people meet him, and it's kind of like, oh, my God, he's just so cool. It's like they don't even know how to – he's just so confident and so self-assured that it gave you some confidence. It gave all of us this reassurance that we got this. We're going to be fine.
617-779-0985. You talked about Brady. You talked about Bledsoe. I got another quarterback for you. What's up, Zo?
What's this, story time with Tim McCone?
Yeah, absolutely.
Zo, what's up, brother? Hey,
all I know, Johnson, all hell breaks loose Monday. It's the Ted Johnson, Scott Zolak show. So,
nice.
If you're a Talladega Knights fan and you like Ricky Bobby and Cal Naughton Jr., you're going to get four straight uninhibited hours of it on Monday.
I love it, buddy. I can't wait, man. We're going to have a good time. Shake and bake, bro.
Yeah, shake and bake. I'm at the beach now working on my Savage tan. I'll be back. I'll be back, Boston.
All right, man. Well, hey, I'll keep
Don't Wooly Pit me. Don't Wooly Pit my
I'm
ass.
Not, buddy.
I'll
I'm keeping your seat warm. And
I love you.
I'll rearrange the furniture back in this Airbnb before you get back, all right?
Rub some boogers on Felger's chair. I'll
see you,
buddy.
Hey, buddy. Love you. Love you, brother.
Checking in.
Zoe is... is one of my favorite guys. His energy is
he's a good guy.
He's one of the most solid people I ever meet. Yeah. Phenomenal family. Love his family. So, I mean that when I say, and I tweeted out last night. You know, like I'm subbing in for Zoe and Mark, and I'm a big fan of their show. And Mark's a great guy. But, you know, it's not like Russ Wheeler taking over for Cole Trickle. It's nothing like that. You know, so I'm coming in a pinch during the holidays while the starters are doing their taking well-deserved time off. So it really is a pleasure, and I'm very grateful to be here.
617-779-0985. Let's get to some of your calls. Let's talk to Mike in New Hampshire. Mike, what's up?
Hey, guys. First off, if I'm the GM of your station, I'm hiring Teddy on the spot. His candor, his honesty, his stories, it's so refreshing. It's unbelievable. Teddy mentioned earlier chemistry, and this is a bit of a stretch, but as a 25-year high school coach, at the quarterback position, even if your quarterback isn't the toughest guy on the field, the players around him want to think he's the toughest guy on the field. And Teddy, you just talked about Tom being calm and cool and kind of cool hand Luke. And yet this year, in a little bit years past, but mostly this year, I see a skittish guy in the pocket. I see a guy ducking. I see some Tony Eason-type behavior. Sorry to bring that up. I see a guy throwing and missing receivers because he's falling away. Now, you could say he's 41 years old and he really can't take the hits. Well, you know what? If you're 41 and you can't take the hits, then maybe you can't lead the club. And I love Tom Brady, but I'm really disappointed this year that he's not extending plays. He doesn't have great pocket presence. And one last point, I watched Wilson the other night in Mahomes. Maybe that's the way the game's going, but it was a joy to watch. I'm going to hang up and listen to you talk a little bit about Brady and maybe the fact that the Patriots lack a little chemistry because he's a little skittish in the pocket.
Thank you for the kind words.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. Ted, I want to get your thoughts on that. We'll do that right on the other side right here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Second down and 13. Patriots showing blitz. Werfel calling signals. Here they come. Back to throw. He's going to be hit. Going to be sacked. Got him back inside the 40 at about the 37. Ted Johnson. First and 10 Buffalo at the Patriot 28. Bledsoe back to throw. The rush. Ted Johnson on the blitz. Sacks him back at the 35-yard line.
All right, back here, Zolak and Bertrand, Tim McCone, Ted Johnson filling in.
You know, it was that highlight, me sacking Drew Bledsoe. The two quarterbacks that I had the most sacks against were against Drew Bledsoe when he went to Buffalo. I didn't have a lot of sacks. They didn't blitz me a lot. And Dan Marino. Do you know what Dan Marino and Drew Bledsoe have in common?
What's that?
They're both as stiff as cigar store Indians back there. I mean, they don't move.
Yeah, they sit
right there 5 yards behind the center. And so let's just, you know, let's plug Johnson up in the A gaps. And so I got Drew a couple times when he was went to be the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. And then when we played Marino, a lot of times they do the same thing. Two very, very difficult, believe it or not, playing against an old buddy, a buddy of yours.
Yeah.
And it's weird. The Buffalo was the team, well, two teams in the division that I had to go play against friends, guys that I started my career with at New England. One was Sam Gash. Love the guy. Zoe, if you're listening, you know Big Cuz is one of the best fullbacks to ever play the game. He went to Buffalo, and that was tough. We would just knock each other's heads off in a game and then hug it out afterwards. And then Drew. Drew having to play against Drew was just weird. It's different, you know? Yeah. And then Curtis Martin going to the Jets, that was strange. So there's like these guys that you came in with and that you were close friends with that go to other teams, then you had to compete against them. Never easy. It was never easy.
So you go back to 03, and you mentioned it earlier in the show. Lawyer Malloy gets cut. You go out to Buffalo. You guys lose, 31-0?
31-0. Yeah.
31-0. Tom Jackson comes on ESPN and says they hate their coach. You talked about it kind of being a weird situation. Was there ever a chance that the locker room was going to get lost there? Or just kind of how did you guys get back on track after all that went down?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know if the 03 season was the bury the ball season. I don't know. Did we start out 0-3? Did we start 0-2 in 2003? I know we lost to Buffalo. No, I can't.
I think it beat Philly. But then you lost to Washington.
Okay.
That was your last loss.
You know what?
Loss there.
I think, you know, it's just one of those deals where you got to move on.
Yeah.
Like the NFL, it was kind of one of those deals for a week. Lawyer Malloy getting cut and going to the Buffalo Bills, it had this kind of thing that carried over us for a week, this haze and this fog. But once we went and got our asses kicked in Buffalo, we all kind of woke up and we got our crap together and we went on to have a very good season in 03, obviously winning the Super Bowl. But yeah. It took us a while It took us a while to kind of get over that. But once, you know, once the game was over and we moved on, we were fine.
Started 2-2. 2-2.
2-2.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you think about it, I think there's 2-0-1. Do you know what we started off 0-1?
0-2.
0-2. That's exactly
Cincinnati.
Right. Yeah.
And then the Jets, right?
Because
9-11 screwed everything up.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And so I think in 96 we started the season out 0-2 and ended up going to the Super Bowl. So it's one of those things where, you know, in historically, if you look at it, what's really kind of shocking to some people is the way they're playing in December. Belichick's teams always got better as the season goes on.
Right.
And do you know why? Partly because nobody scouts a team better than the Patriots. Right. Nobody game plans, nobody scouts a team better than the Patriots. When the season gets longer and longer, there's more data. There's more information that you can game plan more specifically, and tendencies start to jump out at you, and no one's better at exploiting a team's tendency than Bill Belichick. So that's historically why I think Patriot teams get better and better, is because there's more information, more data, better scouting, better game planning towards the end of the year. And that's the way it's kind of always been. Off to a slow start because not as much information is out there on your opponent. Later in the season, tons of data, tons of information, easier to game plan.
You know what else helps? Having Tom Brady as your starting quarterback. Last caller before the break mentioned that he kind of saw him ducking out of the way a little bit, not finishing throws. What have you seen from Brady, and what do you think might contribute to the fact that he's kind of struggled here? And really the whole offense hasn't looked right for a few weeks.
You know, I have a hard time giving a lot of credence to him being injured. A lot of people want to say he's injured because it's like you want to have a reason for maybe the bad play and for him, you know, falling away from his throws. I don't necessarily see that. I mean, there's been reports out there that maybe it's an MCL, that you kind of little leaks that there is something wrong with the knee. Oh, he was adjusting his knee brace. Okay. I mean, I had knee braces. I adjust all the time. I just don't know if it's that. What I think it could be is what happens to a lot of quarterbacks and even the great ones later in their career. Drew Bledsoe at the end of his career would throw off his back foot.
Right.
Okay. He wasn't doing that early in his career. Standing in there, boom. You know, he follows through, takes the hits. Later in your career, a little different.
Yep.
Okay. Another great. Peyton Manning. Do you know what we used to never do against Peyton Manning? We'd play Peyton Manning for the Colts. We never blitzed him. Ever. You blitz Peyton Manning, you will get killed. He will make you pay for it. We did a lot of three-man rushes. I mean, we would just flood the zones, drop eight guys, and he'd sit back there, hold the ball. The longer Peyton Manning holds the ball, the better it is for your defense, believe it or not. If the ball comes out fast,
you got problems.
Yeah. And so we never blitzed him. Later in his career, 2015, I believe, is when the Broncos won their Super Bowl.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He was terrible against the blitz.
Yeah.
Awful against the blitz. Peyton Manning, and, you know, you could see him getting – his clock in his head was getting rushed. The ball was, you know, coming out before maybe it should, not holding the ball maybe longer than he should, getting sacked a lot. I think that's what happens, guys. When you get a little bit older, you get, you know, you're kind of like a cat on a hot tin roof back there. You get a little bit nervous.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's – I don't think it's necessarily injury. I think it just comes with age. And when you have receivers that you haven't been working with during OTAs and don't have a real comfortable kind of synergy yet with them, then the ball hold is held a little bit longer. The timing's off. And so you get more skittish back there. I saw it with Peyton Manning. I saw it with Drew. I think you're seeing a little bit of that right now with Tom, but I will say this. I think it's way too early to give up on him. I mean, a lot of people are like, hey, we should move on. The dude was an MVP. He was the MVP of the league last year.
Yeah.
This guy can still play. You have to put better players around him. That's that simple at this age. So I'm not ready to give up on Tom. I think a lot of people are. I'm seeing the same thing everybody else is. But I think at times it's kind of more of an involuntary response to perceive pressure more than it is an injury. That's what I see at this time.
Offensively, obviously, you know, that you go out and you acquire Josh Gordon, and it seems like throughout the season they're just kind of force-feeding him, trying to get him up to speed so he can be on the same page come playoff time. And obviously, you know, it breaks last week that he's going to be out for the rest of the season. So, you know, from your perspective, what do you think that means when you take a guy out at the caliber of Josh Gordon and what he brought to the team?
Yeah, I think, you know, Josh was, he was, you're talking about, we were talking about super freaks earlier. Dont'a Hightower is just like physically, you know, a freak. He's, he got so many, he's just so genetically gifted. And so is Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
You know, and Josh, I thought early on when they brought him in, they had a nice little role. You don't want to, I didn't think they wanted to depend on him too much. He's kind of one of those, he's a luxury item.
Right.
He's a guy that, you know, every now and then you can go to. And I think that was the perfect thing for Josh because it's like less pressure. Like, yeah. I don't have to be the guy. But then they started to rely on him.
Yeah.
You know, they really started to rely on him. And a lot of times Tom could just, you know, throw it up to him. 50-50 yep. balls throw up to Josh Gordon. They don't have that guy. Gronk used to be that guy. So the 50-50 ball kind of idea, I think that's lost with Josh. You saw this team totally change what it was doing last week without Josh Gordon. And I think it's the straw that stirs the drink for this team is their running game. So that's how they're going to win games, believe it or not, in the postseason. Can they go all the way just doing it with that? I'm not so sure, but Josh is a, you know, people that think, yeah, you know what, they're better off without him or they're not going to miss him that much. You're crazy because teams still paid attention to him. They still directed attention to him, and that let other guys do their thing. So him not being here is going to have an impact on this team.
All right, I'm crazy then, and I want to get into that on the other side because I think this might be a little addition by subtraction. We're going to get help headlines from Sarge coming up here. But first, caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985 will score a pair of tickets to see the Pats play New York in the final regular season game this Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. Again, 617-931-0985.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beer. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. 98.5, The Sports Hub. It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Second and 10, Brady drops back, throws it down the left side. Wide open, Gordon makes the catch, slips a hit. Goodbye. 20, 15, 10. Touchdown, Patriots.
Oh, start the buses. Woo-hoo-hoo. What a Sunday night. Finally, the kid breaks through, and I said it, this could be his breakout game. Chances if you try to close and you don't make the tackle on a 6'4", 240-pound receiver, you better have somebody back there because there ain't nobody catching him. Wow. Thank you, Cleveland.
All right, there you go. Scott Zolak with the call. Josh Gordon with the touchdown there. Tim McCone, Ted Johnson in for Zolak and Bertrand today talking Josh Gordon. And Ted, you mentioned just kind of the super freak that Gordon is. And no question, I think he's probably one of the most talented receivers in all of football.
He has to be to get as many chances as he got.
Well, I mean, look at it. You go from leading the league in receiving yards in 2013. He didn't play in two games that year and still did it. And then takes essentially 5 years off and comes back and is still the player that he is right. for New England. I mean, it's ridiculous how talented he is.
No, he's on another level.
But I guess when I look at it, and I just look at the offense and kind of the way it was run when he got here, and obviously you're trying to get a receiver up to speed, and it's not easy when you're picking up in season. And I just look at it, and I wonder maybe now that he's not here, is it addition by subtraction in the fact that I just feel like when Tom Brady's at his best, it's, you know, his favorite receiver is the open receiver. And mm-hmm. so now maybe he's not as locked in on Josh Gordon as he was, and maybe he's kind of distributing it a little better. Chris Hogan maybe gets involved, although we certainly didn't see that last mm-hmm. Sunday. And some of the other guys, maybe the offense doesn't have that super freak necessarily, mm-hmm. but kind of the sum of the parts is going to be greater.
You know, I get what you're saying, yeah. Tim, and I think that can be applicable to a lot of different kind of similar scenarios. Take, for instance, you know, Dez Bryant. You know, like Dak had to basically, you know,
You got to keep him happy, right?
Right? You know, Megatron back in the day. Yeah. You know, like Megatron is like that offense for a little bit there after Megatron left, all of a sudden started spreading its wings there in Detroit because it didn't have to always focus on Megatron.
Yep.
Sometimes I think really great receivers can almost be a detriment, like you're kind of implying. But I'm not sure in the case of Josh Gordon that was the way it is. I don't think he wasn't having the same impact on this offense that those guys were. There was a game, and I can't remember, where there was, 14 targets and five. I mean, he was force-feeding, it looked like, a little bit to Josh Gordon. I can't remember what game that was, but that was really the only game.
Yeah.
I never got the feeling, guys, other than that one game that I can't remember exactly who it was they were playing, that the offense was out of sorts because they had to get Josh Gordon involved. So I never got that feeling. You know, the bummer is that you just become, you start to depend on the guy.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but for somebody that knows about addiction very well, it's very hard to, I think would be almost impossible to battle a major drug addiction while trying to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have been a shock to a lot of people. And I just have to get this off my chest. When people talk about Josh Gordon going to a Patriots or going to this team and they have structures in place, they have a support system in place. No, they don't. All right, that's not how it is.
Yeah.
Okay, it is not like that. You thought that maybe him coming to New England, the winning,
right,
as well as the accountability, as well as the structure, was going to be a foundation for him, an environment for him that he could maybe succeed. But that's maybe, and that's all true. All right, when you're winning, and the structure's there, and there's accountability there, an addict needs to be held accountable.
Yep.
All the time. And I think the problems that he had in Cleveland were because he wasn't held accountable.
Yeah, you're talking about like the most dysfunctional franchise in the whole NFL right there.
That's exactly right. Yeah. When you keep giving a guy a chance after chance after chance. But I just real quick before, I wanted to just kind of put that out there, that this whole idea that a guy who has emotional issues, addiction issues, is going to go to an NFL team, and that they're going to have structures, they're going to have protocols, they're going to have things in place to help this guy flourish. No. You might have a guy checking in on him a little bit here and there, that, hey, if you need to talk to me, but that's about it. So it's an unfortunate thing what happened with Josh, but it shouldn't be a shocker to anybody that knows the world of addiction.
617-779-0985. I want to get to your calls. We'll start with Scott in Weymouth. Scott, what's up?
What's up, guys? Ted, real quick, a couple points to touch on. Ted, you sound great. Some nice insight. It's nice to hear you. Awesome insight, man.
Thank you. Thanks, Scott.
Awesome. All right, two quick points here. The consensus seems to me that it's 50-50. Now, whether it's listening to talk radio, not just you guys, other stations, or if you're at the local barroom, 50-50 on people's opinions on what's going to happen to this team in the playoffs. Half the people say it's over, they're done. Half the people say Belichick, Brady, don't count them out, they're going to win it all. My take, it's interesting. This is going to be a really sweet playoffs. I'm telling you, if they win the Super Bowl, it's going to be sweeter than anyone they've won before this one. My opinion is this, and I want your counter opinion. I think this Sunday's game versus the Jets is going to be a, like going to the movies, coming attractions to what you're going to see in the playoffs. If they roll the Jets, roll them. I'm talking 41-3. Then buckle your seatbelt. This team isn't done yet. They figure it out, Belichick and Brady. If they're in a struggle versus the Jets in week 17, I know it's game 16, week 17. If they squeak out a 5-point win in the last 5 minutes, then yeah, the Pats might be out in the divisional round. Or game one, excuse me, in the playoffs. So that's about all I got to say. I can't wait to hear your opinion on that. And in closing, don't count out Belichick and Brady. I still think they can win it all. But I expect if they can't roll the Jets, they're done. Roll the Jets. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks for the call, Scott. It is interesting because we talk about kind of the dysfunction and it doesn't feel like it's right this year. And then you look at it, and, you know, they beat the Jets. They have a 2 seed in the bye, and if things break right, they could even be the number 1 seed. And it's interesting, you know, we were talking off the air, but I don't think it would be that surprising, even though we talked about, you know, the offense not having Josh Gordon and the struggles. They could very easily wind up in the Super Bowl again this season with all that being said.
Yeah, I'm glad the caller brought that up, and we're talking about it now because absolutely. He's absolutely right. I think the Patriots can still go to the Super Bowl. Couldn't they win? I think that's a stretch.
Yeah.
But can this team go to the Super Bowl? Absolutely. I'm telling you, like, look, they can game plan. You have a lot of unproven quarterbacks. You know, look, as great as the season as Patrick Mahomes is having, look, he's still a young quarterback.
Yep.
And he's got to go – if he's got to end up playing Tom, I know in Kansas City would be a tall order. But, look, they can still beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because of the moment, because of the coaching staff. I think Belichick has an elite coaching staff. He has an elite game plan. He has an elite scouting eye. He can – scout a team as good as anybody, and he can game plan as good as anybody. So I think we've all seen that these teams in the AFC all have flaws, okay? They all have flaws, and there's something about playing the Patriots in the postseason that makes coaches and players sometimes pee down their leg a little bit. You know, oh God, here we go. I mean, it's 28-3. All of a sudden, Shanahan doesn't know how to call a game anymore. It's just coaches, players get tight when they play the Patriots in the postseason. And I could see these guys getting to the Super Bowl. I just think there's too much ammo in the NFC to maybe win the whole thing. But don't be surprised if this team goes to the Super Bowl. And that's probably a good thing after kind of, we've been critical and been, judging harshly. But this team is still capable of going to the Super Bowl because of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
617-779-0985. Let's talk to Steve and Sharon. Steve, what's up?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Teddy, it's a pleasure to hear your voice and talk to you. And I just want to say one thing. The offensive line, I think our center, David Andrews, is too small, and he's always getting pushed back into Brady. He seems to be okay on the wings, but coming down the center, I think we have to be a little bit stronger. And one other thing, the linebacker core, I think, is very, very weak. I don't even include Hightop in that. And I think we need some faster guys out there, and I don't know why they don't use Ebner out there.
All right, thanks for the call, Steve. All right,
Steve,
so we can go back to the offensive line a little bit later, but I want to get your thoughts just on the linebacking core for the Patriots.
Yeah, the linebacking core collectively, it's a little disappointing. And I've been critical of this unit. It just, I look at Landon Roberts and I say to myself, what is his role out there? Like, what is Landon Roberts' best attribute? And I'm a fan of Landon. I mean, I like that number he's wearing, 52. It's a good number. From University of Houston, I covered him when he was with the Cougars there. He's a try-hard guy, but he's undersized to take on blockers.
Yeah.
Is he an elite cover guy? I don't know. I think maybe his best attribute is to maybe put him into the blitz. Blitz him a little bit. Kyle Van Noy, he plays outside, he plays inside. I don't see him making a lot of impact plays all the time. And then Dante's just having an off year. So I just think that collectively that unit has probably been a big disappointment. And it's a little surprising because that's one unit that Belichick's always kind of hung his hat on. Is, we're going to have elite linebackers. And this unit this year is really underperformed, in my opinion.
No, it is interesting. You go back to the Super Bowl year, the first Super Bowl years, it's you, it's Bruschi, it's all those guys. And then Hightower, Collins in 2014.
Gerard Mayo coming.
Gerard Mayo, Meek. Absolutely.
I mean, studs, man.
Yeah.
Studs. And so, I just don't see the thumpers. I was a thumper. Brandon Spikes was a thumper.
Yeah, big time.
So this run defense, I don't see a lot of linebackers. They don't play downhill. They don't press the line of scrimmage. They don't play on their other side of the ball. They catch a lot. And I just don't see them aggressively pressing the line of scrimmage. There's a lot of seams in there. There's a lot of little alleyways for the running backs to get through. And the linebackers, just they seem – Kyle Van Noy and Landon Roberts playing inside – guys, they're not big guys.
Yeah.
They're smaller guys, and so they get swallowed up in there. So I know that sounds really harsh, being for that unit, but that's what I've been seeing.
617-779-0985. Tim McCone, Ted Johnson, in for Zolak and Bertrand. We'll get to more of your calls next after this.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Give to Michelle. Runs to the left side. A burst past the 25. Outside on the 20.
Good catch.
15, 10. Left sideline 5. Hurtling into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
There you go, your rook. We talked about him breaking, and he's a breakaway runner. We saw this in Georgia. 34 yards around left end. Sees the goal line. Woo! 2-6 show there.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Tim McCone, three-time Super Bowl Ted Johnson in for Zolak and Bertrand today. You just heard the running game there. Ted, we were talking a little bit off the air. You think that the running game actually might be the key for this Patriots offense moving forward if they're going to make a run here in the postseason, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny. This team has gone back in time, Sarge, Tim. This team has gone back in time to a simpler time, to a time that I really loved and embraced was the time of just the running attack and specifically 21 personnel. So when I say 21 personnel, I think people are getting smarter and smarter. There's more information and people, I think, understand when two running backs, one tight end. Like, that was the number one personnel group in the NFL back in the 80s and the 90s when I was playing early 2000s, where it was a fullback and a running back, okay? And those days are long gone, except for this year's Patriots. They're going back to like the Dallas Cowboys of the early 1990s when, you know, they had Moose Johnson, Emmitt Smith as their two guys, and they would just, you knew it was coming, you couldn't stop it. This team, when it needs a spark, you know, when there's just, you know, the slip screens, and, you know, all the play-action jet sweeps aren't working, Bills probably says to Josh, get 21 personnel in there. Let's get this thing going. Let's light a spark. Let's get our asses out of our head, and let's start moving the ball a little bit. And they put in James Devlin and Sony Michel, and things get done.
Yeah,
that's when it starts going. So this bread and butter for this offense is 21 personnel, and basically, telling Sony Michel, just follow 46. Everywhere he goes, follow him, and there's going to be a hole there, and there is. And teams know that the Patriots don't have a deep threat. They're stacking the box, and it doesn't matter. This running game is damn good, all right? And you look at the last three games, this team's averaged close to 150 yards a game, okay?
What do they have, 273, I think, against Buffalo? Yeah. To your point, too, they really got going the second drive of the game when they just ran it down Buffalo's five straight runs to Sony Michel.
When they need a spark, that's what they bring in. And so the last three games, they have averaged close to 150 yards. Mm-hmm. They're third in the NFL in rush attempts per game.
Wow.
With Tom Brady, third in the NFL. Do you know what their home and away difference is, what they rush for, home versus away?
I'm going to say home about 200 in a way, a buck and a quarter.
For the whole season, though.
Oh, okay.
Not for the last three games.
Okay. Under 200, just under 200.
It is under 100. It's a lot under 200. Yeah. It's 160 yards they average per home game.
Okay.
Versus 97. I mean,
I was going to say definitely under the century.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah, big time.
And
undefeated at home, Ted.
Right. Undefeated at home. What are they? 3-5 on the road.
Yep.
So this running game can be enough. And I think they need to be more of a running game because their defense, even though they had a good performance against Buffalo, but let's face it, it's Buffalo.
Yep.
That defense doesn't need to be out there for a long time. Right. I mean, it's just, you know, they have a good secondary, but that front seven is suspect. And so this team, why not? You know, and nobody can morph and adapt and change on the fly better than the New England Patriots. So I think you're seeing this team going back to like the early 1990s Cowboys team. Bring in Devlin, bring in Sony. Let's, you know, strap it up. Yeah. Let's go. And that's going to be, look, can they win the whole thing doing it that way? I'm not so sure. But can they get themselves to the Super Bowl with the way the AFC teams have been playing as of late? Absolutely.
617-779-0985. Let's go talk to Jack in New Hampshire.
Hey, guys. How ironic. Ted, I was going to talk about the running game and how it has been effective for them. It's a great way to keep the other team on the bench, especially if you play Kansas City or San Diego. And I think Baltimore it plays much the same way. They have a great defense, so that's only different. But if you can kill the clock, run the ball, even Cordarrelle Patterson is developing into a nice little running back, and then he can do the play action and hit Phil Dorsett deep.
All right, thanks for the call, Jack. Appreciate it.
Love people in New Hampshire. Big Fats fans up in New Hampshire, by the way.
Yeah.
Have you ever met anybody from New Hampshire that wasn't a good time?
You know what? You're right about that, though.
I've never met anybody from New Hampshire that's not a good time.
Or,
so, yeah. They're the greatest fans up there. So thanks for calling in, Jack. But I would say he's absolutely right. He brought up a guy that I've been wanting to talk about in Cordell Patterson. Mm-hmm. Guys, he is more important to this team than we realize.
It is crazy.
I saw your email. You love him.
I do. Yeah. I know he's kind of a one-trick pony, but what – okay, there's two ways to keep a job in this league. You're either pretty good at a few things or you dominate at one thing.
Yeah.
Well, this one-trick pony is dominating at these jet sweeps.
Right.
And I tell you what, he can run more routes than people think.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, Tom's throwing to him in more of the traditional sense on some of these routes. Now, the route I liked is the route where he says just go straight and hit your head on the goalpost in that Miami game, that seam right down the middle. But Cordell Patterson brings an edge. He brings an aggressive mindset to this team, along with Julian, who's phenomenal. But the running backs with him, and I'm putting him in that category, him and Burkhead, Sony Michel, and James White, they are the key to this team's success moving forward. Those guys, and the way they can interchange them, put them out wide, do different things with them, disguise them, screens, all that stuff, those guys, to me, are the key to this whole thing.
It's crazy. It's crazy. 617-779-0985. We're going to step away. We're going to get Hub headlines here from Mike Starge-Riley. When we come back, we'll get to more of your phone calls. And, Ted, you threw this out in an email. We got to get to this at some point. Best football player you've ever seen doesn't wear a Patriots uniform, wears a Texans uniform. We'll get to that as well coming up after headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.